Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters out there in PRF land. We are excited. We are ecstatic that you have taken the time out of your schedule to be with us here on the PRF table. My name is Dr. Nate Dunlap, for those of you who have not been at the table. And also, we have a lovely young lady that sits at the table almost every week. Her name is Mary Ann Williams. Around the table, we call this beautiful young lady Mama. Mama, good evening to you. How are you this evening?
Oh, good evening, my precious son. I'm doing fine, thank you. Just fine, thank you. And give a shout out to my PRF family. Glad you can be with us, and we highly appreciate it.
yes. So listen, to this whole month, for those who have not been with us, we have been dealing with economic injustice, and we have been vacillating, as my good brother and friend, Deacon Chris McWhite, would say, between justice and injustice. So it's not all just about injustice, but I like how on last week God had us at a place of being able to help you to be able to answer the question and ask the question, what am I seeing in my church? What does it look like? What does economic justice look like in my church? What does it look like as far as economic justice and injustice? And y'all know who was with us last week, Mama. You remember I had to push y'all, because it's easy to start talking about what's going on outside of my church.
Yes.
It's easy to say what's going on outside of my household. But here is what God had placed on our hearts last week. No, we need you to start asking the questions. We need you to be able to say, what is going on? Because the reality is, and this is what we brought up, if you can't address it, if you can't identify it, then guess what happens? Somebody else will address it. And they're not going to address it to find solutions. They're not going to address it for transformation. A lot of times people are going to address it because they're frustrated. People are going to address it because they feel it's a bunch of nonsense. A bunch of people are going to address it because they don't want to be a part of the church anymore. A bunch of people are going to address it because they don't see a doggone thing happening. And they're like, why in the world am I going to follow what you're talking about when none of your stuff seem to be working? You working until you're 85 years old. You giving all your money to the church. All these different things, Mama, that we've heard, some of us may have said. But tonight we're going to talk about something not totally different. It still falls within our theme for the month. Tonight we're dealing with no economic justice, no peace.
Peace. Yes.
No economic justice, no peace.
No peace.
We've heard this theme before, no justice, no peace. We've seen people out at rallies and marching, and it may have come across Facebook where people say no justice, no peace. Well, let's talk about that, and I'm going to take us somewhere after this, Mama.
Okay.
If I do something wrong, say I go out there, or I'm not going to say me, but say somebody goes out there and robs a car, robs somebody, steals a car and robs them, carjacks them at a stoplight.
Yes.
Holds them at gunpoint. Get out your car. As they say in the hood, break yourself, fool, break yourself. Then the person gets out of the car and then they drive off, right? And so now this person has this stolen car, but they have put a gun to somebody's head.
Yes.
And told them to get out of their car. The car that person, Mama may have gave it to them as a present. They may be paying on it. They may have just got it. Nobody, the person who did this horrible thing, doesn't care anything about how that person got the car. They just want what they have.
Right.
For whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can't find too many reasons why I'd be right, but some people it's justified in their minds. And so then this person, he or she drives off. And now here comes Popo. Here comes Officer Dunlap. And Officer Dunlap is chasing behind this joker. And now as Officer Dunlap is chasing behind him, Officer Dunlap calls his buddies, right? Calls the rest of the boys and girls in blue. And now there's a high-speed chase going on. And then this person decides to weave in and out of traffic. They're pressing the envelope when it comes to red lights. You know, they slow down just enough, and they're weaving in between the highways. And then the next thing you know, they're driving so erratic, and they hit a wet spot because it's been raining all day down here in Miami. That's true. It's been pouring down. God, it's been crazy down here in Miami, right? So
yes.
Then they hit a wet spot, and they spin out of control. Listen to the language that I'm using. They spin out of control.
Yes.
And then they hit another car. In the car, three children. All of them under the age of 10. A mother is driving. A father is in the passenger seat. Two of the children die instantly. The husband, the father, is injured pretty bad.
Yes.
The mother is seriously injured, ICU, who eventually, after a few days, dies as a result of her injuries. Let's stop there and take that in. Because here's what often happens, and here's what we see on TV and on the news a lot of times. You have to understand that there is somebody who loves the driver of that vehicle.
Yes.
I know that my son, who was driving the vehicle, killed these little kids, hurt this father. I know the woman, the mother, died eventually. But I don't want my son to go to jail. I don't want my son to have to the rest of his life. I don't want the rest of his life ruined. But then on the other side, Mama.
Yes.
On the other side, what you have is you have some family members who are grieving.
Yes.
And they're grieving because their loved ones are either hurt, injured, or dead. And so you can imagine on that side of the family, all that they're screaming about is, I want justice.
Yes.
Let me interject another piece to this story. Although there was an accident, it was a hit and run. Because, see, Officer Dunlap had to, you know, they had to call the chase off because now there's a very serious accident which can be seen, so we don't keep chasing that offender.
Yeah.
So they do it to somebody else. You know, there's points and there's limits and when law enforcement has to back off. And so Officer Dunlap is tending to the crime scene now, attending to those people trying to see who can be saved, who needs CPR, whatever the case may be. But we still don't know as law enforcement who it is that stole the car. So we're doing our work, right? We're doing the work now. We put something out there on TV. The news station comes out and they do a story on the 6 o'clock news to let everybody know this is what happened. The car that did this was a red, whatever the car was. And then nothing happens for a week. Nothing happens for 2 weeks. The family of the ones who was in the car, they're frustrated because all they want is what? Justice. They want the police to work harder. They want now, watch this, Mama. They want the people who may know who this individual is to come forward to help bring him to justice. Nobody's talking. Maybe he's on the run. Maybe he's in the hospital somewhere. He went out of state. Who knows? But that person has not been brought to face for what he does. But the family is constantly saying justice. But his family is saying, He just made a mistake.
Yes.
His family is saying he didn't mean to kill anybody. His family is saying he's a product of his environment. Situations of socioeconomic status are not good in his community. So here's the deal. There's often two sides to this coin.
Yes.
So when we talk tonight about justice, and the reason I had to insert that word economic justice is because we have to deal with the systems that either make a family or a community, that either makes them where they trust the system or they don't.
Yes.
And so as we continue on with no economic justice, no peace, I want to tell you that without economic justice, how can you expect to have peace in your home?
Yes.
How can you expect to have peace in your church? How can you expect to have peace in your community? One of the things that I want us to do tonight is I want us to address the ignorance behind this. I want us to address the hypocrisy behind this, because at the end of the day, we're worth, and I say we're worth everything that God, that he has for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're worth it, but we got to do our part. There's a couple of scriptures that deal with peace, and some of you may have heard them before. One of them is out of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, right, some of you may have heard this before, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The writer of Philippians, that's what he said to the church at Philippi. But if you go one verse before, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now watch this. How many times have you heard that if we pray about it, gotta do just what he said?
Many, many times.
Tell God what you need, and God will supply all your need, according to his riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
But that seventh verse, if you look at it, when it says, and the peace of God, so the first thing is pray about everything. But before it said that, it says, don't worry about anything. If I am in a community that is just, I don't have nothing to worry about, mama. If I'm in a community where if I need some food and you got food with my good Dr. English, right? That one or two things in a just community should be happening. Either you should be so connected that you know I don't have any food. We ain't talking about mind readers, but doggone it, you know if stuff is going on with your neighbor, if you're that connected to him or her.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about anything if I'm in a just community. So if I'm in a just community, I don't have to worry. Then I can put more attention to prayer. But what's going on is you got people praying, but they're also worrying.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest that maybe one of the reasons why they're praying so hard is because their community is not just.
Yes. That's good.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes.
There's another scripture that deals with peace, which is relevant. It is so relevant. One of the things that Jesus said before ascending back to the Father, said this to his apostles, to the disciples, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. That's good. Those are two good, wholesome scriptures that you can hold on to. But you got to understand, when it says peace, there's a way that that peace comes into effect. See, people are looking for peace in the midst of their economic trials, tribulations, and decision-making about certain things that are not going through negative, necessarily bad things when it comes to their PRF. They're trying to make decisions like resources, like should I leave this job? But again, look at what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you and my peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives it to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. But before that, he says, but the advocate, Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, what will the Holy Spirit do, Mama? It will teach you all things. But see, maybe that's one of the things right there. So many people are just looking for the comfort first. But that's not what he said. He didn't say to comfort you. We know that the comforter, that's the nature of the comforter. But what is the actions for the comforter? The actions wasn't to comfort. The actions was to teach you.
Teach you and lead you.
You can go read it.
To lead you and to guide you.
That's not the scripture. That's not the scripture. Those are the church things, Mama, that continue to be said that have been so pressed upon in so many people's minds. But that's not what Jesus said. That's what man has made it to be, which is why so many people have it in their mind. So that's why they're continuing to look for it. But let's go with what Jesus said.
Teach, lead, and guide you into all truth. Okay.
Teach you and remind you of everything that I said before.
He'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Okay.
Bring things back to your remembrance. So watch this. If you ain't got nothing for it to be brought back to your remembrance, then all you're doing is you're just going, trying to find something. The Spirit's going to lead you. It's going to lead you everywhere you need to go. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, I was doing this so to bring all these things back to your remembrance. The things that I've told you, things that I've taught you. So if there is not that space that's there where people get to be taught, not just talked to, because Jesus talked to them, but he said to bring it back to remembrance. So think about this.
Yes.
If you don't have anything inside of you, Mama, that deals with economic injustice, what is going to be brought back to your remembrance that Jesus has said to you makes a difference?
Yes.
Because if you go back to just what I said, then just like you said a few moments ago, you may be trying to quote a scripture that ain't what the scriptures say.
Right.
And then you wonder why it ain't working.
That's right.
Then people are wondering why it's not working.
Yes.
So this whole notion about economic justice, and if you don't have it, you can't expect there to be peace. There is a very good reason why so many people are sitting in jail right now. There's a lot of people, you ain't got to agree with me, but we can talk statistics later. But there's a whole bunch of people that are in jail because of economic reasons. You have people that get into situations. You have people that grow up in situations. And they're growing up and they're coming up and they're placed in systems of oppression that causes there not to be economic justice. For some people, that comes through structural racism. For some people, it comes through political systems and political injustices, gerrymandering, redistricting. And people, when they get pushed into a corner, oftentimes will do what, Mama? They'll push back.
They'll come out. They'll push back, yes.
Yeah, or you about to say come out swinging?
I said fighting.
Yeah, come out fighting, come out swinging. So where we're at tonight is we're dealing with no economic justice, no peace. If we don't have economic justice, then stop expecting there to be peace. Now, some of you are saying, well, you know, as long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Okay, don't go to work, call on Jesus, and expect money to come into your paycheck, into your bank, on the 1st and 15th. No, you need everybody that God has positioned to be involved in whatever needs to happen for your household, whatever needs to happen or should be happening for your church and for your community. Mama, justice is. I was reading something earlier, and it said that justice is mentioned over 1,000 times, talking about the Hebrew and the Greek words for the word justice, over 1,000 times in the Old and New Testament. So, you've heard, some people have heard that money is the most frequent topic in the Bible. Some of the scriptures that people say with that foolishness are have nothing to do with money. But people said that they like to attach anything to what they attach it to. I got it. But we can definitely see where God talks about justice. Justice is at the heart of who God is. Justice is at the heart of what God does. In this conversation, this dialogue that I desire others to jump on to be a part of tonight, is to talk about economic justice is like how it was when we first started talking about financial healing, Mama.
Yes.
We have a course in PRF called Financial Healing. One of the lessons in that course is the 10 steps to your financial healing. Another one of the lessons is the keys to financial healing. And it's amazing that so many people can't even conceptualize what financial healing looks like. You know why? Because there's nothing that can come back to their remembrance as the Spirit of God moves. You know why? Because they ain't been taught it.
Yes.
So there's nothing to go back towards. Only thing they can do is go forward. But you have to focus, and it requires changing the mindset, Romans 12:1-2. It requires a change of mindset. Because if you've been taught that healing only has to do with physical all your life, and nobody ever said to you, Mama, you know God can heal you financially, right, Mama?
Right.
I ain't talking about some old crazy prophecy. Let's take the word and let's break bread together on this.
Yes.
Because nobody taught me about financial healing, Mama. See, some of the things that I have learned, there was no going back to a remembrance, because you know the deal, Mama. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and then after that, it was done like that Bedside Baptist. Until about 2000. You know, I jumped in there every now and then as a CME, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, or going to visit home. And Mama, if Mama could get me to church every now and then, but, you know, I can't go come to church with Mama. I'm just coming from the club at 4:30. I still got the Waffle House in my teeth. You talk about going to church? Uh-uh. I need to sleep some of this off, right? So.
Yes.
So nobody taught me. So I'm different. I'm divergent in so many ways because I don't have a lot of the religious baggage. When my experience is when I came to Christ, you know, I came to Christ back in 1994, but then I really didn't start walking with Christ until about 2000. That's when we started walking. I started walking with him. I ain't about to say he walking with me. I started walking with him, and things changed dramatically. But since that's when it happened, I was able to take what was in the book and I was able to run with it, and I was being taught by the things that I saw, the things that I heard, and also from the things that I knew. So here's the first thing I want us to do. I want us to understand that economic justice is something that we can and we should be talking about within the church. Why should we talk about it within the church? Why should we not talk about something that is relative inside of the Bible? Well, where does it talk and say economic justice? Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you're not going to see. So if you don't see the word economic injustice, do not trip, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that you may say out your mouth that you ain't going to find a scripture for.
That's true.
You're not going to find our English terminology. So let me give an example. If you go to Isaiah, the first chapter, and I want y'all to look at these. Go to Isaiah, the first chapter, and look at verses 12 through 17. Go to Amos, the fifth chapter, and look at the 21st through the 24th verse. But in the book of Isaiah, first chapter, one of the things that God said is this: when you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremonies? Stop bringing me meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. Oh my gosh. As for your celebrations, say church, of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days, and so the word says special days for fasting, but can we say special days like your pastor anniversary, your church homecoming, your usher anniversary, your men's day, your women's day, your founder's day? God said they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. He says, I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. Don't get mad at me. He says, they are a burden to me. I can't stand them. When you lift up your hands, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Here's the, after it says that, it says, seek justice. And then it says specifically some things to do. One, help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Listen, if you can't figure out what to do, how to deal with economic justice, just go and say, you know what? We're going to just help the oppressed. Because here's the truth of the matter. In your church, in quote-unquote my church, you got some oppressed people up in the church. You got some people that need to be defended, whether they're orphans or not. You got people that are within so many different structures that they have no way of knowing how to get out. You got so many people that rights have been violated for various amounts of things. Listen, how in the world can you go? I'm going somewhere. How in the world can you go to prison for a crime, whether you commit it or not? You got behind those walls, behind those bars. And the government can use you as an individual to help the economic conditions as far as money coming in, because they can count you as a citizen or a resident of that particular city or county. But yet when you get out of prison, you ain't got the right to vote. You got to fight for your right to vote, but yet you can use me while I'm inside to get more money. So here's where I'm at, Mama.
Yes, okay.
If we're willing to address the ignorance behind economic injustice, whether it's in the church, matter of fact, I'm not even going to go further than the church, whether it's in your church or not. We're going to talk like we talked last week.
Yes.
So how do you address the ignorance? What are we addressing the ignorance on? There's some things that so many of us see in the church that we know are not is not just, especially when it comes to a financial related matters. We know it's not just. There may be things that you hear. And there may also be, number three, some things that you know. Now let's break this down. Let's be fair and real with this. Sometimes what you see is not everything.
Yes.
Right? So I'm going to caution you not to trust your eyes as being the only thing, because we can see things the way we want to see them. And depending on who has influence on you, other folks can have you seeing things the way they want you to see them. Same thing with hearing. You may hear something, but again, I caution you. Well, they think about this. You know, certain statements like, the pastor's still in the money. Okay, you heard that. Well, who's the person who said it? Now let's deal with the ignorance. It's real easy to sometimes deal with stuff that you hear. Here's how easy it can be, Mama. Mama, who told you that?
Sally.
Mama, who told you that? I remember I had an administrator one time. Sally told you that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Sally. I'm going to ask Sally where Sally heard that from. I had an administrator one time that came in and said this as a new administrator of a facility I worked at. He said, I don't deal with rumors. He said, this is how I'm going to tell y'all. And he told all of us on the executive team, he said, let me tell you how I deal with rumors. If I hear it, somebody brings it to me, I'm going to ask them, who told you that? And then when you tell me who told you that, then I'm going to go to them. And I'm going to ask, who told you that? Now, here's the deal. I'm going to keep on doing it until one or two things happen. Until this happened. One, I go to the person and they say, it was me who first said this. I didn't get it from nobody else. This is what I saw. That's why I said this. This is what I know. That's why I said it. The other way he said, he would address it is, if I come to you, Mama, and you say, I don't really want to say, then I'm just going to assume it was you. Gonna make it real simple, and that way I'm gonna deal with you, because we're not gonna be playing these type of games. So there's a lot of stuff that gets floated around dealing with economics, especially within the church, and what I believe God is saying for us. Look, time out for foolishness. If you don't like the way something is going inside of your church, you got the right to open your mouth. But who you open your mouth to makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Yes.
And so the other thing with economic justice is let's address the hypocrisy. If there's things that I'm seeing, if there's things that I'm hearing, there's things that I know, but yet you are saying things that I know what I saw. But I hear you saying something else? Mm-mm. Now, understand, I am not telling everybody to just start going out there calling folk out. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there has to be a constructive way to address the hypocrisy with the economic injustices that are going on with the people. Because they're there. And if there's nobody that's going to do it, then you can expect the devil to deal with it. And the devil's not going to do anything to bring glory to God. So, you know, if you who are housing the temple of the Lord don't address something, then expect the devil, your adversary, to address it. And Lord have mercy of what the outcome may be.
Yes.
Yeah. in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 21-24. Lord says, I hate all your shows and your pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even accept or won't even notice all of your choice peace offerings. I may want to stop there at the end of verse 22. That means all that money that you keep bringing, I ain't even accepting it. I ain't even accepting it. And the thing of ignorance is you think you're doing something because you're bringing it. Look, okay.
Yes.
Then it says, away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. This is God. This is what God showed me.
Yes.
If we're going to deal with some hypocrisy,
mm-hmm.
What about this substitution of justice for worship? What about the substitution of justice for worship? What about the substitution of justice for going to church? What about the substitution of justice for giving tithes? You already heard what God said about the offering. Here's what God says, Mama.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice.
Yes.
An endless river of righteous living.
Living.
So I don't care what anybody's saying right now, you can't tell me that God is not a God of justice. You can't tell me that justice is not important to the heart of God. And if you believe, because we're in this quote-unquote New Testament dispensation, that justice has gone away because there's more talk about justice in the Old Testament, you don't even know the God that sent that Jesus that you serve. Jesus is coming. Mama, do we understand that his coming was also justice? How can you separate your Christianity from justice? When God is a God of justice and Jesus came from God and we get reconciled back to God because of the sin nature of man through Jesus Christ, how do you separate it? How do you ignore it in your churches? Let me knock something out the park real quick.
Okay.
Just talking about justice when some crap happens in your community. I want to believe this, Mama, that you can imagine that somewhere there is God is speaking to somebody, some prophet, some man or woman of God saying, I hate all your shows, your pretenses, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I'm not accepting the money that you bring up in here every week thinking that you're doing something. Go ahead and just shut down all that noise that you're making. You come up here talking about, give the Lord some praise, keep it. Because I'm not even listening. Piano, stop playing. Drums, put your sticks down. Because what I want to see is a mighty flood of justice. And if we believe that there's a whole bunch of injustice going on in our churches and in our communities, and it's not being addressed, shame on us. We're going to bring Brother Mark in because evidently either the Lord spoke to him or I said something to make him mad and he wanted to tell me off on the air. So... My goodness, Brother Mark, what's going on, good sir?
Hey, everything is well. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing, Dr. Dunlap?
Oof, man, this thing is on me, brother. This thing is on me because there's too much stuff going on. And we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it so we can go somewhere with it and do something about it.
When you were talking about the injustice, it reminds me of a situation that came up in the ministry that I was a part of at one point. And like I said before, and I know some of you guys heard me say that, I was over the finances. But I had a situation to come up where the man of God, his wife, she lived above her means, and of course, you know, nobody knew that. I knew that because I was on the finance. She lived above her means, but a situation came up where an individual that was attached to the ministry, he stole a check, and the man of God wanted to persecute him. But in the midst of me going back through and looking at the history of the spending of the church, I told him, I said, God does not feel impartiality. And I said, there's no way I can go after this man and not tell you about your wife. And I told him flat out, just he and I said, you go back and you look at, I want you to go back and look at the history of the money that's being spent. And then when he went back and looked, he said, I didn't know anything about it. I said, to me, it equates to the same thing that this other guy did then. So you can't go after this guy and want to persecute and want to actually prosecute him when what your wife doing equates to the same thing. I told him. But I can honestly say that he was convicted by it. He didn't argue it. He came back a couple of days later and said he was convicted by it.
Wow.
Because,
praise God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God, you just, I can't say that I'm a believer and not believe in justice, like you said. I can't say that I'm a believer and be partial in my belief. I can't do that. And just as much as that guy took, it pretty much was equated to the same thing that she had spent unknowingly. So I said, there's no way. And I even went as far as to say, if you can't get this under control, then maybe we need to take your debit card.
Wow.
Because this is a ministry that is trying to get up, off, and running. And I went as far enough to say that I've watched the people struggle out here to try to pay tithes. And to watch somebody just frivolously just spend it, I said, I can't stand by and watch that. And I honestly told him that.
Man, that goes back to what I just mentioned about, you know, let's address the ignorance, let's address the hypocrisy. What you've heard, ladies and gentlemen, is how we deal with stuff, or should be, as brothers and sisters in Christ, primarily. I mean, there has to be somebody to stand up for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be somebody that stands up and says, okay, hold on now. I'm okay. Now listen, for those of y'all who may be new to the table, I am an ordained minister. I teach the word of God. I stand in the pulpit and preach, or whatever you want to call it. So as I say this next statement, know that I'm talking about any of us that stand in the pulpit. Somebody has to help somebody else be accountable.
Amen.
If there is nobody to help us be accountable, then it's easy to become irresponsible. Case in point, if we can't tend to the needs of the community, but we don't have a problem tending to the needs of me, the pastor, and I said it, then that means that there's somebody who doesn't understand the biblical principles that we continue to teach in PRF, which is about loving your neighbor, taking care of each other. I said this to this brother that I met down here last week in Miami. And I said, you know, it's amazing that a lot of churches that have youth ministries are not just in their dealing with the youth. Well, hold on, what you talking about, Dr. Dunlap? Well, let's be real honest about this thing. We're going to deal with the ignorance, and we're going to deal with the hypocrisy. We do that on the PRF table. If there is barely any money on the budget for the youth, and the youth have to go out and wash cars, sell hot dogs, Brother Mark, sell
yes,
cookies and Krispy Kreme donuts or Dunkin' Donuts as fundraisers, like you do fundraisers at the school or the booster club to get uniforms for the football team or the cheerleading squad. If that's what has to happen inside the church, I'm not going to say that that's injustice. But here's what I will say. What other areas of your ministry do you do the same thing for? Do you have to sell chicken dinners, wash cars to help get the money for my salary as your pastor? If what we bring in, Brother Mark, this week is $1,000, but yet we have it situated where Pastor Dunlap is going to receive, because this is what y'all said, this is what y'all approved, whatever, contract, whatever. But I get $400 a week. But we get $1,000 this week. And I get paid, that's a whole nother PRF session. But I get paid every week. So after the, you know, at the end of the service, somebody's giving me a check for $400. But I got $1,000. We brought in $1,000. I'm going to ask y'all to mute your phones again. All right. But we brought in $1,000. But we got $1,200 worth of bills that need to go out this week. But you know, I already wrote the check for my $400. Does it matter or does it not matter? Do I now stand before you and say, I need y'all to give more because we had an air conditioner problem that happened this weekend and nobody has been smart enough around here to make sure that we got some type of warranty system on our air conditioning unit or anything like that? So we got to spend out this week. We got to spend out over $1,000. But we only brought in $1,000. Do I stand up there to make sure that justice is being administered the right way because the person that's at the back of the church that's waiting to see me after the service is over because they need $200 for a light bill, do I turn that person away because you already wrote me a $400 check? We already know that $700 got to go for the air conditioning, so we already in the negative for $1,000. So for us to go ahead and give $200, that means we got to go into the savings. but we can't do that so quick. So, you know, if we wrote all those checks right now, then they probably will bounce. How do we deal with that? Goes back to this thing about the knowing. Can somebody say, hey, Pastor Dunlap, listen, this emergency situation came up and we don't have it. So now we got to say, okay, how would God want us to deal with this? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love ye one another. Talks about laying down a life for a friend. So do I say, well, you know what? Just write my check for $300 right now, so we can give this person at least $100. Or do we tell them that we can't do anything to help them because they're not a member of my church? Y'all know this stuff be going on. God ain't just got me being the only one, Mama, that sees this in the places that I've been or the people that I'm connected
yes.
with.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest about this thing.
Yes.
This thing is not about bashing people. It's not about bashing leaders. But what I'm telling you is God is tired. Because some of these things are not being addressed. And the truth of the matter is this. You can keep telling somebody that there is gold at the end of the rainbow all day long. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to get frustrated and stop looking for the gold because the rainbows don't come out that often. And therefore, you will continue to have economic injustices going on within the body. And you'll make, and people will not have the peace that they need. See, peace has to be something that extends beyond the hooping and the hollering or the teaching or the preaching or whatever it is that gives you up and gets you emotionally or spiritually on a high on Sunday morning. I was in a place today, Mama. I'm on an elevator. Two guys are talking. This ain't got nothing to do with church, except for the fact that the people that is going to affect, I guarantee you a bunch of them are in the church. So I'm on an elevator today, going up. Two guys walk in, and they're talking about there's people in a certain department, and it's a very large agency that I was at today, that are about to lose their job. But they don't know who's on the chopping block. All they know is if you work here, a whole bunch of people is about to be laid off. So how does that affect the church? Whatever the reason why they're going to lay people off in the way that they were talking about how it's going to be done, I said, man, get me up out of here. I ain't got my gat on me right now. Get me up out of here because I really don't want to be here when folk go off. I was at the airport today. They got people striking at the airport. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Economics is all around us. You may not see it. Those folks want economic justice. Let me tell you, I had a meeting at the airport with a couple people today. And one person said why this is why these people were striking. Because over in, I think it was in Brazil, they're building up their pilot workforce and paying the pilots good over in Brazil while they're cutting down on the pilots here in America. Okay, so you don't see that and you don't believe that it has anything to do with the church, but what did I say at the beginning of the show, Mama? What happens when people get backed up into a corner? What about the person who just moved to Miami? Only been with the company 2 years or so. Hasn't built up a whole bunch of unemployment compensation to be available to them. What happens when people go through these things? I told one church before that I was teaching that for months. I said, listen, God has already shown me that when the floodgates open, you got to be ready. when the people come because of the various situations, that ain't the time where you say, let me call PRF. We still want you to call us, but I'm going to be so straight up with you, say, hey, man, look, you got 50 people that's without jobs. We can teach them. Somebody else going to have to deal with getting some money into their pocket. We can help them get some food, but somebody else is going to have to pick up some pieces on that as well. And the reality is everybody ain't trying to come when they're going through. One of the greatest injustices within the church is not valuing that people need to be prepared economically. There's so less of a value to that, Mama.
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, right? Talks about the ants. How they gather during the summer so that they have for the winter. Let me tell you why I know that there's one of the greatest injustices that go on within so many churches. God is not allowing me to call y'all out by name, so you better be lucky he hasn't allowed, because I promise you I want to do it. But if there has been nothing that is coming before the people that talk about saving, but yet you do more talking to the people about giving, irregardless of their situation. Can I tell you something it just burns me up when I hear this. Bless those who have it to give and those who didn't have it to give. What? How about we do something about the ones who don't have it to give? How about you? How about we stop? Let me tell you how I addressed, how God helped me to address that type of economic injustice in the church. Because I got tired of it. I'm like, God, this is, man, I want to just walk out when the offering comes. God had me one time years ago to go to the bank and get, and Brother Mark, I may have told you this, but had me to get two stacks of $50 bills.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't cause me to give that money to the people. God had me to go to the pastor. Now, it had to be in the right timing. What God showed me was, if you just ask them, who doesn't have, before we go do this offering, and then give those who don't have, start giving them some of these $50 bills so that everybody has an opportunity to give something during the time of offering. Listen, hold on. You can't say that. Don't try to get me all happy and excited about giving. Don't let that be where you get me riled up to be clapping. What the hell I'm clapping for? I ain't got nothing to put in it. So you having me clap, but I don't feel like clapping because I ain't got a doggone thing. So I'm just fronting. Let's go back to Amos chapter 5. Okay, what are we really doing? No, you want people to be excited about it. Well, how about we be excited about it when everybody got something in their hand? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when we rejoice with those who rejoice. Let me slow myself down. We rejoice with those who have things to rejoice about, and we suffer with those who are suffering. So it doesn't make good economic justice sense to me to just keep saying week after week after week, bless those who have it to give, bless those who don't have it to give. When are we going to address what they don't have? If you ain't going to do it, don't prohibit nobody else from helping them. But those individuals don't have peace. I'm telling you what I know. Because they sit and they watch people give, and they watch people, and you say that this, we say that this giving is an act of worship. None of us going to dispute that, right? So why does it even make sense? Why do you even think that that is equity, that that is fair, where people have to sit there and they can't worship when they want to? But yet you hold the means in your pocket. Okay, I'm going here. If we got this thing where we doing taking debit cards in the middle of services, we got the ATM machines in the front lobby. How about everybody just make sure when they walk in, take $5 out, and when it's time for an offering, I'm telling you, if y'all listen, y'all gonna see some changes. Yes. I'm telling y'all in your churches. And how about this? We stand up before whoever's gonna do the offering and lift the offering, whatever you want to call it. You say, how many of you don't have anything to give right now? Be honest. I need you to raise your hand. Be honest. If you got to tell them to close their eyes and put their heads down, you know, like you do when you're trying to get folks to say whether they saved or not, whatever. You may take that. You may have to tell them close every head bowed, every eye closed. You may have to do that. I got it. And then you ask them to slip up your hand. You know how you do it. Slip up your hand if you ain't been saved. If you don't know Jesus, slip up your hand. Have them slip up their hand for that. Now watch this. You done stopped by the ATM machine. You done took $5. We know that most ATMs you can't take $5 out. Uh-oh, so that means you can't just be cheap with it either if we're going to talk about dealing with economic justice. You may not have the opportunity to put something in the offering plate and tell the deacon, give me 4 fives back. The church ain't sitting there with $1,000 worth of $5 bills. But when you got it, why not help somebody else who doesn't have it? But you got to bring it out. It has to come out that they don't have it. If not, you're suffering in silence. And what you're doing is you have a culture of economic injustice and you don't even realize it. If I can't give into the house of worship, if I can't participate in the worshiping of, in the worship service of giving, if I can't do that, what do you think is going on in my household? I was in a church, Albany, Georgia, one time, and they were doing the offering. And I can just see, sometimes I don't like, when I go places, I don't like sitting in the pulpit a lot of times because I get to see all the dismay and the hurt and the pain on a lot of people's faces. And so it does something to me. So they were doing the offering. They were lifting the offering, right? And I can see it on several folks' face. And so they said, we're going to start it off at 100. You know, I don't like that old foolishness, but they're starting it off at whatever, right? And they started it off, and they brought it down to, you know, like 100, and then 50, and then 20, and then 5, and whatever you got. And so before they got to that, I beckoned for the pastor or the apostle, in fact, the bishop, and this was for leaders. And I said, anybody who doesn't have anything to give, and please hear me, this ain't about me pushing myself up. Follow God. Follow God. So I'm speaking of this because this was a God encounter, right? I said, ask who wants to give. I think they were asking, I think God spoke to the man or woman of God, whoever it was at the time, to ask everybody to give $35. I ain't got a problem with that. You say God said that, I ain't tripping. But there was a whole bunch of people that couldn't give. And so I begged him for the bishop and said, ask whoever wants to give just to raise their hand. Didn't tell her what I was going to do or anything. It was already in my spirit. However many people it is, $35 time, however many people it was. My wife was sitting in the audience, right? She was sitting in the pews. I was up in the pulpit. And so she said, oh, bless you, man of God. Bless you, Pastor. So she interrupts, you know, what they were doing, and she says that, and she said, and Pastor Dunlap, he anybody who wants to give, she said that. Well, she didn't say it the first time, but she said, just raise your hand. So they didn't really know what was going on, right? Because a lot of times people don't want to be embarrassed, right? Hold on, I know I don't have it, and you want me to raise my hand in front of all these folks? Yes. Yes, that's how you get. You let it be known, but the environment got to be right. See, if the environment was right, perfect folks would just raise their hand. The environment was right for a couple of folks because two people raised their hand. So I thought, listen, bro, Mark, I thought I was good. I was like, okay, that's $70. But God wouldn't let me go because I still could see that there was more people that was desiring. And God, and listen, Mark, Mama, y'all know I do crazy things sometimes for God. I got the microphone. I said, can I see the microphone for a minute? And so I had to say what was happening. I said, listen, this is what God put on my heart. I know some of y'all desire to give, but you're not raising your hand because you're embarrassed. You don't want people to see it. If you desire to, and this is how I'm saying it, y'all know me, if you desire to give to this offering, you need to raise your hand. Mama, it was at least 10 folks. Boop, 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 boop. I said, Jesus. Mark, there was the car note. I wasn't expecting that, right? And so, you know, normally when I go places, you know, I just let my wife, you know, write the checks or whatever. And so I look at my wife, and she looking at me, and I said, write the check. And she's like, huh? And I'm telling you, it was over 10 people. But see, this is the type of thing that I'm talking about. This is what we promote at PRF. How many people got free, Mark? Because now, and this is what I explained, if you won't say yes or say that you need when the atmosphere and the spirit of God is working, when you're dealing with your stuff at your house, when your bills are due, when all this other stuff is going on, you won't say a doggone word to nobody. Because you're by yourself. So we have to, we, brothers and sisters, we have to get to a better point, to a better place of making sure that the environment is safe to have the conversations. The environment is safe for justice to prevail. Justice can't prevail when people are in bondage. Mama, Mark, yeah. Comments. Can a brother get some water now?
I can relate to what Nate is saying, because I was in a church. I had just moved to this particular city, and I didn't have anything, and the pastor did ask. And I tell you, it was like money was just coming. You know, it was a pretty big church. It was a large church. I'd say maybe about 200 people. And I was just visiting. And I raised my hand. Others raised their hands too. But it was so much money. I mean, I said, oh, Lord, look at all this money. You know, and it was just coming and coming and coming. I mean, it was, you could just see that it was so sincere, and you could just tell it was the power of God, because it was just coming. It was like I was in a whirlwind there, like, oh, my God, look at all this money. And I didn't even count it. You know, with so much money, I didn't even count it. I just took it and put it into the plate, you know. So, you know, when God is moving, you know, and telling us to do things, you know, as leaders, we really need to, you know, to do that, you know. And at that time, you know, I wasn't in a leadership position, because I was just, you know, down there visiting. But it was just so amazing. I never had that ever to happen to me. And I said, wow, look at this, you know, and especially with strangers.
Wow.
You know, they don't even know you, you know. So it's just show that if we desire in our hearts to want to do the right thing, God will, you know, and especially if you're really struggling financially, but you just really want to do it, but you just can't, and God will encourage us to just continue on trusting and believing. You know, and I wasn't...
But how do we get encouragement, Mama? Who do we get the encouragement for? See, that's the thing. So many folks keep hearing the same thing, not pushing against what you said. However, I'm saying the reality is there's so many people that keep getting the same thing. They keep saying, God is going to encourage you. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to do this. Yes, God will. But I promise you, if we are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then that means that Dr. Dunlap, that means that Mama, that means Shamark, what are we doing?
Yes.
What and see, this thing is not about what are we doing in our flesh. What are we doing? When I say we, I'm talking about what are we doing as the Spirit of God leads us. But doggone, if the Spirit of God ain't leading, if the Spirit of God ain't leading nobody to help you with your credit, but
yeah,
folks keep buying brand new cars up in your congregation, saying, look at what God has done. Man, please. Mama, let me get to this caller. We have a caller that's been waiting patiently with the last four of 5209. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, everyone. I just caught the tail end of everything. You know, I don't like to miss stuff, but Mama said everything that I kind of wanted to just say, pretty much. But I wanted to say this. You talked about Dr. Dunlap. What do we do when someone doesn't have anything to give and people are in the church giving to the pastors, or the leaders, whomever it may be? I have seen that my pastor, and this was back in Ohio, I actually witnessed him turn down his pay to give. There was a family in need, and I actually was the one who told him about the family, and I had told him there was, I could only do so much, and I did everything that I could possibly do to help, and then I referred them to the church because I knew our church would help people. But I actually witnessed him tell one of the deacons, I want you to write my check to this family. And it was a pretty much of a surprise to me. It was actually a shock. I have never seen that, and I always know that pastors, they want their money. What I will say is that the Bible tells us it's better to give than it is to receive, but we do have to be in a place to receive for ourselves. I think a lot of times the reason why some people don't want to say anything is because they don't want it to be talked about in the pulpit after a while. And some people, and I can say this, there are some churches that I have attended where they have actually announced it. And if we are the church, we are the representation of Jesus Christ, of God, of what we all run in this race about, then how do you get up there and do that? And that is what causes a lot of to pull back and to not want to be open and not want to say, hey, I need help, because they don't want to be the subject in the pulpit.
So we know that this is where people are, right? We
mm-hmm.
know, we've heard people say this. And so now I say there comes a time where there has to be some accountability. And it has to be some accountability on both fronts, on a leadership front and on, I'm going to say, for lack of a better way, the members front, or the
mm-hmm.
front of the community, right? Because it's not all about just churches. You have ministries. And
right.
So here's, again, we're talking about economic justice. No economic justice, no peace. We know a lot of times that people don't have peace. We hear about it. So why not? This would be my thing. Why not go to a leadership scripture? I mean, you got folks that have been to seminary and have all type of degrees, and y'all know I have a couple, so I'm not pushing against any of those.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take one that really deals with leadership. We know that in Exodus 18, there was where Moses was the one who got appointed to judge the people, right? We know that. The Bible says that clearly, Exodus 18. And he dealt with people that was coming to him with their disputes and other matters, and I'll say it like this, social and socioeconomic matters. This person did something to my cattle. This person did this to my wife. This person did this to my son. The same stuff we do today, we go through today, Moses was dealing with those things. So now, what happened? For those of you who don't know the story, there was a man by the name of Jethro. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. Moses Jethro came and saw what Moses was going through. Some leader is going to get free on this today. There are some leaders that are constantly being the person that people keep coming to try to help fix their issues. Most pastors tell me that the number one thing that they deal with in counseling is finances. So, doggone, if the number one thing that you're dealing with is finances, I come back to them with a Jethro spirit. Well, if you don't have the time to deal with the people with the financial type of matters, then bring somebody else in. We would love to come and help y'all. Go get another program, another ministry if you need to. But you can't keep being the person that's getting people to keep coming to them over and over and over again, and people are dealing with the same crap. Can't do it. But remember how Jethro came at Moses. Here's what I'm telling you. And if God tells you to. See, the beauty with Jethro and Moses was when Jethro came to Moses and said what he's in, Moses, Jethro said what he said, the Bible clearly tells us that Moses took Jethro's advice.
Yeah.
Here's where economic injustice runs rampant. When the people keep coming to you or coming to me or anybody else, any of us who are in a leadership position, keep coming to us about the same thing, or the people are coming individually and we know that there is a problem and we don't do anything, now that blood is on our hands.
Right.
So don't trip when something is needed to be done and the people don't have it to give. The reason they probably don't have it to give is because nothing has been done. And we go back to what we came from with John 14 in the beginning. What do they have that the Holy Spirit can bring back to their remembrance? So if they don't have anything for the Holy Spirit to bring back to their remembrance, if they don't have anything of what Jesus had previously taught them, then where do they go? They sit there. And these people kept coming to Moses. And Jethro said, hold on, what are you accomplishing? You trying to do this all by yourself. People sitting around waiting for you from morning to evening. Let's be real. Most pastors don't have the opportunity nor the inclination to spend very large amounts of time with people in counseling. And I'll be honest, a very large number of them ain't even qualified. So what are you accomplishing? Well, let's pray about it, okay? Okay. When it comes time for me to, when you normally get your check on Sunday after you preach, I want you to pray about it, Pastor. Because, see, we're talking about justice, it's equity. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Some of that's out of order anyway, the way stuff happens with some of that. But let's be real, we're going to talk about God's justice, we're going to talk about order. And order is not this thing of just coming from the top down. We're going sideways with this thing. So who is the people, right? Who is the one? Who are the ones that God is able to use to help the leaders when it comes to these things?
I think he can use everyone.
You're absolutely right. He has the ability to use everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There was a song several years ago called It said, "Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?"
Right.
I figured you'd like that one, Evangelist Moore.
I remember because
that, you know, yeah, yeah. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Will the real leaders please stand up?
Yeah.
And notice when I
the
say, "Will
the
real
the
leaders
boldness.
Please stand up?"
Yeah.
I'm not talking about your title. You keep your title. I got titles too. It don't matter nothing. Ain't none of
mm-hmm.
us. Ain't none of us going to heaven because our titles. That's a real, you know, it just ain't, it
well,
don't matter. It does not truly matter. Yeah, our title. Yeah, 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 you're going to heaven because you are this. Mm-mm. You're going to heaven because you're a doctor.
Mm-mm.
You can be a doctor,
mm-mm.
go straight to hell. You can be a bishop, go straight to hell. You can be a pastor, go straight to hell. You can call yourself a Christian, go straight to hell. The whole...
Yeah.
One last thing. I said I was done. I'm trying to be done. So we gave y'all Exodus 18. Y'all do this to me sometimes. Exodus 18, right? I want you to write down or just take a note and go to Deuteronomy 16. Somebody will have to turn something down in the background. I really want people to get this one real quick. All right. So many people desire the good things of God. Nobody disputes that. Jesus said, I come to give life and give life more abundantly, John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, I come to give life and give life more abundantly. More abundant. So that means if I call myself a Christian, abundance shouldn't be something that I stumble upon. Abundance should already be there. And abundance should be there because there should be economic justice and a whole bunch of other things. But economic justice is one of those things that should be there because we're doing things as community. So if the Bible is very clear. You give, so you give while you have. So when you don't have, others will give unto you. Yeah, it's clear with that. I believe Brother Paul said that, right? So one of the things... That happened that we get so much wisdom from God is through the Israelites, the children of Israel, and their journey out of Egypt into the Promised Land. But on the journey, while they were in the wilderness, those 39 years, 10 months, and 4 days, what happened? God gave them so much and said, look, when you get there, these are the things that I want y'all to do when you get there. He did not require all of those things that you read, all those commandments, statutes, judgments, and ordinances, he did not require them of the people until they got to the Promised Land. Well, what is the Promised Land? The Promised Land is a land flowing with milk and honey. The Promised Land was a promised place that God promised to his people through their ancestors. So here's where we got to say, okay, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that I am saved. I believe He died for me. I know that if I die today, that my soul salvation is secure. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm good on that. Now, what about down here on earth? Since Jesus said, I come to give life and life more abundantly, so you are abundant because you are a Christian, point blank, period. Nobody should be able to waver from that, right? But what about the more abundant? If you don't freaking know how to get to the more abundant, then all you do is be sitting around here abundantly being able to go to heaven, but living like hell on earth. And that's not how it's supposed to be. And too many folks are living like that. So you got to understand when if we're going to take what God said, let's take it. Let's take it when it comes to justice. Let's take it when it comes to not showing partiality. Let's take it when it talks about leaders that don't accept bribes from people. It doesn't twist the minds of the people who are the words of people who are innocent before God and don't really know certain things where you can just manipulate them. None of that's still supposed to happen. Here's what he says. He says, I want you to appoint some judges and people over the tribes so that they can judge the people fairly. So the question is this thing about just No, I'm not even going to ask that. I want you to take a consideration. I want you to take a poll. I want you to take it before God, those of you who are listening, and say, if you are a leader, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I here as one like a Moses to help people with their problems? Or is my purpose here just to preach the word of God and give them enough from this week to next week? Is my purpose just to do the altar prayer every Sunday? Here's what I'm going to say. Whatever it is, it's not a problem. But the doggone people need to know that's just what it is. If the people don't know that's just what it is, then the people are going to keep coming to you for stuff that you're not going to be able to give them. And when you can't give it to them, that's when I start seeing those people who have 10 and 15 negative things on their credit where they can't pay this and they can't pay that. Some folks said, the heck with it. Oh, yeah, I knew that was on there. I'm not going to do anything about that. I don't have this. I don't have that. But you can't tell when you go into the church house because everybody's lifting holy hands. But I'm telling you, when you sit like me in the pulpit or near the pulpit and I get to look at y'all faces, I'm not judging y'all. I'm crying on the inside for y'all because I know what I see on a day-to-day basis. And I see what your pastors don't see. And y'all know that, especially a lot of y'all who are listening. And y'all know I keep everything to my chest, so I'm not going to put y'all out there because that's not what we do. That's not how ministry is supposed to work. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to say, okay, God, show me what I need to do. I said this before, and I'm done. Anybody else that got anything, y'all can come behind me. If not, you know I'm just going to shut it down. If you need money out of your bank account, and you go to your bank at 2:45 in the morning, you pull on the doors, and the doors are locked. You the fool if you come back the next night or next morning at 2:45 in the morning just thinking that when you pull on the door, somebody's going to be in there to give you some cash from behind the counter. Too many of y'all are continuing to go to the same place for some of the same things that you need from God. That's not there. So the question is, you got to ask God, Lord, show me where I need to go to get help. Because if you're hungry and you just choose not to ask for food, I can't feed you. Because I don't know that you're hungry. So I want leaders to take personal responsibility. I want you as the members to take personal responsibility. I want you who have people in your family members that say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of the church because I see how bad you're struggling. What do you want me to come there for? We got to do this thing together. And I'm telling you, if there is no economic justice within the church, then there's no peace within the people inside of the church. And when God releases me to start sharing some statistics with y'all, when God releases me to share some concrete data with y'all, you got to understand that data will be old at the time that I share it. And so if the data and the information is old at the time that I share it, the next question is, what are you going to do for the future? Evangelist Moore, Brother Mark, I'm done. I'm going to get some Peruvian food or something because I'm kind of hungry right now. And Mama, final comments. I'm listen, this stuff is so real. I know I said I'm done, but y'all ain't letting me go.
Yes. Okay. I was on mute. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I enjoyed you. For what I heard, so that was good. I would say the only comment that I would say is that anybody wanting to understand how to get out of debt, how to or even want to understand a period, I would read Deuteronomy chapter 15 if I were them. So,
yeah. Yeah,
but we're not
there's a
whole
bunch in there. well, see, here's the thing. Yeah, we're not going to do it, but I've talked about it. That is one of the focal scriptures and one of the lessons that we offer in our credit and debt or first cousins course. But here's the reality with that. You can't be the lender if you ain't got nothing to doggone lend.
Absolutely.
So ain't no need of talking about getting out of debt. Because, see, y'all keep doing this, because in that chapter, it talks about those who were, this is what they were supposed to do when they got into the promised land. So if you just come to Christ right now, right, remember, we ain't all traveling this road at the same time. Everybody in your church didn't start all at the same time. People come, people go, people join. So their moving as a community was different. So the first thing is, you can't even expect none of that to operate in your life if y'all ain't moving together as a community.
Right, because everybody needs to be on one accord.
Everybody got to be on one accord. Second thing is, none of that was supposed to take effect until they got into the place where God had them to go. So if you still struggling, if you don't know where the heck you're going, if you don't even know your destination, you can't even call your destination. You just know I'm going. Some people say,
that's the truth.
I'm just treading water. If you're just treading water, you ain't moving to the promised land, so you can't expect anything to be really going on because all you're doing is just treading water. You're barely moving. You just surviving.
Okay.
So let's get out of that mode. So now, once you get to the place where God wants you to be and gets us to the place where God wants us to be as a community, then we can enact those things. Because the truth of the matter is, I ain't about to lend you nothing if you ain't even trying to be honest with me about what's going on with your credit situation.
Right.
And then, to take it a step further, and Brother Mark knows this, again, this thing is about lending and borrowing. So sometimes you got to clean up some things in order to get yourself into the position where you can be a lender. So stop letting folks just keep speaking to you, oh, you're supposed to be a lender, but not to borrow, and not tell you how to be a lender. Well, first of all, if you ain't going to talk about savings at all, stop talking about folks about being a lender. Because it's contrary to the word of God if you are somebody who is lending but you don't have nothing to save for your emergencies. Because
that's
now
true.
You become a servant to the borrower. God's about to release it. The course is offered. We offer the course. But I can't give it to y'all on the PRF table. I can't do it. God's not going to allow me to do it. So, Evangelist Moore, you weren't there, I think, last year when God said, Mama, you remember when God said, the time for teaching is now.
Now.
The time for teaching is now, because that's what this ministry was founded on, teaching. But through a couple of years, we were doing a lot of teaching on the radio, and now God is saying, look, this ain't something that they could just be listening to on their way to work. You saying write down John 14:27, and then you go into work, and then you get there, you don't even remember the scripture. And then you want people. And you ain't going to reach out to nobody. You ain't going to do a Google search. You ain't going to do nothing. Because you don't even remember, what were they talking about? Because now you're at work doing what you're doing. That's fair. Right. I got it. But you got to sit down in the environment so the Holy Spirit can come and do what the Holy Spirit is really trying to do. So you can see those things, and you can have other people to help you be accountable. That's what PRF is about. Listen, I got one announcement for y'all before we go. The book is about to be released. Those of y'all know we usually go about an hour until, unless God does what he's doing like tonight. So those who are listening, y'all are getting it first. And I haven't put it out there to anybody, but I'm putting it out to my PRF table family. The book is about to be released. It's done. I got my copy the other day. The book is called Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. It will be available on September the 6th. So I will say, make sure that you just go to our website, prfministry.org. You will have the ability to purchase the book on our website. It also will be available on Amazon on September the 6th. September the 6th is a very, very special day, which is why it is coming on that particular day. And so with that, we're going to say, please just be on the lookout. Please get it. It's going to do wonders for so many people within the body of Christ and within the communities that all of us are serving. So with that, God bless y'all. Go on to our Facebook page, PRF Teaching Ministry. We ask you to like our Facebook page, invite others to the page. We know that people need what God is saying through PRF, not just on the PRF table, but also through our legacy conferences and also our learning sessions. So with that, God bless you, Mama.
Yes.
We'll see you next time. We'll talk to you soon. Evangelist Moore, Brother Mark, God bless you. We love you, bro. Love you, sis. We will talk to you soon. Yeah. And we ask you just everybody just be praying for folks that really need God to intervene in their life and that God will continue to use us as a ministry of people where there's no I's and no big I's and little U's. We do everything as a team to make sure that we're just doing what we need to do to give glory to God. And so with that, we will talk to you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget Sister Kimberly Silas with Your Health is Your Wealth every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Last week was phenomenal. And y'all know I don't use those big words very often, but it was phenomenal. And God is really using her in a mighty way. And then I will have another announcement for you next week. So you can look at my Facebook page, Rev. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., and you'll see what we have as far as a big announcement that is coming up on September the 10th. So, again, until then, God bless you. We love you, and we will see you next week here on the PRF table. Peace.